You know, in professional wrestling today, there's a lot of different organizations. There's a lot of different world's champions, world's tag team champions. You know, I was one of those world's tag team champions with the WWF. And at one time, I was proud to hold that title. But I never knew if my partner was going to show up. When he showed up, we had a good team. We were the champions. But I never knew if he was going to show up or not. And that's one thing that happens when you belong to the WWF. A lot of wrestlers don't care if they show up or not when they're booked on cards anywhere in the world. And you know, they got a world's heavyweight wrestling champion in Hulk Hogan. I've knew Hulk Hogan since he was in Tampa, Florida, playing a bass guitar and a honky-tonk. When we used to come in there and drink beer and throw cans at him because he wasn't playing good enough and he'd run out. But you know, then the NWA's got a world's champion in Ric Flair. A man that went to the University of Minnesota and played football. A man that weighed 300 pounds at one time, not on steroids, just pumped up good and dropped down to an incredible about 235 and an in-shape wrestling machine, because I've wrestled both Ric Flair and I've wrestled Hulk Hogan. And I had Hulk Hogan in Japan one time, and I ripped his shoulder out. And all he was screaming, sir, is, let me go, let me go. Well, I'll guarantee if you rip Ric Flair's shoulder out, he's not going to be hollering, let me go, because he's digging. He's hungry. He's not guaranteed all that showbiz stuff like Cyndi Lauper and all that other garbage that makes real professional athletes sick. He's out there because he is the NWA World's Heavyweight Wrestling Champion, and he don't have no Cyndi Lauper, or he don't have all them music things on TV getting him going. He's got the NWA, and he's got a lot of hungry athletes on his tail, because they know if they win that championship from him, it's a guaranteed percentage, and that's all they get. And it can be taken any day, any shape or any form, because in the NWA and in the Mid-South, the greatest athletes in the world today are in professional wrestling.
Bad Street, Atlanta, GA. Bad Street, the whole USA. I'm not even working in our stupid title, Baby Oil and Blow. I'm giving it to you straight up because we got
a stupid title. It's a great title.
I do love the name of our show.
This is the only reason we have a podcast, is because we came up with a great title for a podcast.
That's absolutely right. And anytime we meet 80s wrestlers and tell them the name of the show, they like it.
How often are you meeting 80s wrestlers?
I'm on a weird dating site. Don't judge. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is, looks like a great looking lady right here. Yeah. And then I meet them and it's just an 80s wrestler.
Oh, no. Kayfabe Mingle got me again.
Right. It's called Kayfabe Fished instead of Catfished.
That's happening now. Yeah. It's a new thing.
It's a real thing.
Watch out for it. It was on Dateline the other night.
Yep. You think you're dating somebody's hot lesbian aunt, and then bam, there's Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Turns out to be Wildfire Tommy Rich. You never saw it coming.
Yeah, we're on to a pretty good gimmick right here. We should probably remember this, put a pin in it, run away with it.
Yeah, this is an SNL skit right here. We're working on
Kayfabe Fished. We got a special guest joining our crew of wrestlers on the table.
We only have two microphones. How are we going to work this?
It's okay. He's inanimate and about 5.5 inches tall.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we got a classic 80s AWA Michael P.S. Hayes with his fucking Confederate coat on that is just immaculate.
Used to be my, like, I bought this to be my classy writing desk, and I'd sit here and I'd do my writing on it, and, you know, had some nice lamps and stuff, and now it's just littered in all this fucking audio gear and all these pro wrestling toys you keep bringing in here. Yeah. It's really ruined the ambiance of the place.
But your Ultimate Warrior mask on old boy back there.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
My bust to some old Greek guy now is sporting Charles an Dickens? Ultimate Warrior mask. Point being, you used to be able to bring women around here without it being too embarrassing looking, but that's not the case anymore.
Just don't let them look over here.
It's good news. We live in Indiana. There's no women to bring over anyway.
Yeah, there's that. I was going to say, you can
big
just
deal.
Curtain off this little section.
Big deal. What am I going to bring home? Some fucking yokel? No, thank you. I already one living here.
You're going to get on the same dating site I'm on, and you're going to bring home an 80s wrestler.
Aw, jeez.
Sometimes you don't get a choice in the matter, because a lot of times they don't got a place to stay, and you can't just leave them. You can't just leave them at the Shoney's.
Brand new couch surfing, but it's carny couch surfing. you're just going to con you into giving up your couch.
But you know what? I bet like a lot of those dudes would be cool with like watching like the real trashy shit on Shudder.
Oh, yeah. That's like, I'm down to watch whatever you got on TV, I'm sure, yeah. As long as you got like a six pack of like warm, cheap beers to toss them.
You're going to have to start keeping some hams in here.
Like a box of KFC or something. Those KFC bowl things.
Those are good.
I imagine I'd be eating a lot of those if I was on the road.
KFC.
Living life on the road.
Slippery slope for me. I got real bad diarrhea from that once.
Slippery slope for your backside, probably.
Yeah. I mean, just crippling diarrhea. So every time like I go to KFC, I'm always like, you're
rolling those dice.
Yeah, you really are. Taking a chance here.
Yeah, that Russian roulette when it comes to my ass. Yeah. I've never had any dio problems from KFC. They treat me right. Mm. I probably haven't eaten any of the KFC in years.
So. Bad chicken. Mess you up. This is Baby Oil and Blow, your favorite wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 80s wrestling.
So long as it's the only wrestling show you're aware of.
Yeah.
This is probably true.
I'm one of the hosts, Matt O.
And, I always forget that we have to introduce ourselves like we're having a real podcast.
Yeah, it's the only bit of professionalism is this 5 seconds right here.
The least we could do.
Yeah.
And that's what we do, the least that we can do.
Right. And with me is the other host of the show. He is Nate Adams.
Oh, out there, everybody. Give us some likes. Give some 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Hey.
And, Patreon, you can hit up, and also go to Amazon and type in Baby Oil and Blow somewhere on Amazon, and thanks for supporting the show, everybody.
He is, this week you're going to be the Eric Bischoff to my Vince Russo.
Oh, why would we want to do that to ourselves?
I've taken the stance on the show multiple times.
Uh-huh.
Vince Russo, cool dude.
I'm taking a stance right now, FUNB. The NB stands for New Blood. You can figure out what the FU stands for.
Davey R. Scheister is definitely in the Millionaires Club, and that's why we don't like him.
Lives in the north suburbs. I mean, that's clear to anybody who knows anything about that guy.
Yeah, you and I, NBAF.
That's true. We probably should start carrying that New Blood banner, just ignoring the fact that we're, in our mid-30s and start acting like, hey, when are we going to get our shot?
Yeah.
We're young guys.
Everybody's holding
us
down. And not like in our 30s, firmly in our 30s.
Got a real chip on my shoulder.
Sons of
bitches.
It's about
time I start complaining about it more. Letting people know about my chip.
Hell yeah. Chip
I got
Douglas.
Some modern day wrestling news for you to comment on this week.
Okay.
Something I saw today when I was on that internet.
Am I on the WWE Network hilarious comedy hidden camera show Swerved?
Yeah. R-Truth is right there holding the camera.
Oh, dude, I wish.
No, I happened to come across some interesting pro wrestling news. Being the Elite, the Young Bucks and the Cody Rhodes YouTube show is back after a hiatus that followed their big All In extravaganza. They're out there in Vegas for the Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view.
Mm.
And Cody Rhodes is spitting some fire on this thing, making fun of the attendance. They only filled up like a quarter of the arena for this ROH. And he's saying shit like, hey, good thing our deals are up in a couple of months. What do you think about that? Working the marks, or is he laying some seeds in the ground for these guys to finally, separate themselves from the boring nothing that is modern-day Ring of Honor? And if so, where the fuck do they go?
Well, first of all, I've never watched one of their internet shows.
Neither have I. I just saw people getting all bent out of shape about these Cody comments.
I will follow it the same way that I follow current wrestling, which is I read about it online.
You wherever you
so if somebody,
may go.
If anybody has a breakdown, like where they, live review it, send it my way.
You're watching guys talking into webcams on YouTube?
No. Like, I that's how I the way I watch wrestling is I go to prowrestling.net and then read their live review the following day.
I could see reading
because it
something.
Takes me 5 minutes to read what happened.
What's
in 3
scary,
hours.
What's real scary, though, is when you get those guys who to YouTube their reactions to wrestling shows.
Yeah.
Like, huh, well, they did it again this Monday Night Raw. Hey, everybody. Sorry it's been so long since my last video.
Yeah.
I know that we have a weekly
pro wrestling
podcast.
My mom was having bunco, so I couldn't use the basement.
That we upload. And,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe some people got some shit to talk about that. But for me, there's just something extra sad about the people who stare into a webcam, like, in their bedroom and, like, do web videos. Who wants to watch a web video? No one ever.
Yeah, we have very elitist...
Why would anyone ever want to watch that?
We have very elitist attitudes, so we already... Well, I'm not going to say think. We know that we're better than you are.
Yeah, I'm being the elite
right
now.
And then, number two, I'm never being the elite. Like, that's a way of life for me. Like, every day is that.
Be the elite.
Yeah.
That's the chant they do.
Number two, we're covering stuff that isn't even important anymore, and we're doing it in spite.
Yeah, that's true. This is more of like a raging against the dying of a light thing rather than it is like a trying to engage with what's going on now thing.
We're like, hey, why, you know... This is great shit. People need to, you know, pay attention to it. And then at the same time, we're like, this is awful.
There's something.
Why do we keep watching this?
And poetic about our impotent futility.
Right. That's
so. Where do you think Cody and the Young Bucks are gonna go? Or are they just
impotent
stay
futility?
With
the name of our tag team. What's up?
Where are they gonna go? Or are they gonna stay with Ring of Honor? I really think they should leave Ring of Honor because, you know, it's a boring company that's set up stupid and, like, their TV, who could watch it? And, God, it's not even, like, synced up to the timelines of their pay-per-views in the year 2018. And
if they're smart...
I think they got a streaming service these days or something.
They don't give a fuck about the business, clearly.
No, give a fuck about the business of the business. It's all about those greenbacks.
Exactly. So if they're smart... They're hot right now. You just parlay all this into the big WWE debut.
I don't know.
Yeah, get that money. Take those paychecks.
I think and there might be some bigger paychecks on the table for them to work this whole, hey, Smarks, we're anti-WWE. Give us all your money angle.
Yeah, but it's going to speak even louder when, you know, they get chewed up and spit out in 2 to 3 years.
That's definitely going to happen.
And they're like...
At least to the Young
WWE
Bucks.
WWE couldn't even handle the hottest property in the world.
What are the Young Bucks going to do in the world of WWE post-NXT if they have to go to NXT? Like, just fight the Revival on main event every week? What the fuck?
No, I'm guessing 205 Live starts a tag team division.
Ooh, they could be the anchors of that thing
they
that
go
no
there
one
with,
would watch.
The Mighty Don't Kneel or whatever their name is
Those
now.
Guys are pretty tall. I don't know if they could get on 205 Live.
They're not that
tall.
Gotta
kayfabe that shit.
They're not that tall.
So, I don't know. This is probably... Makes a lot of sense. Everybody eventually goes back to Vince.
Yeah.
What about Billy Corgan out there with that NWA title, though?
Yeah, that's...
What are they building with that, Matt? It's still nothing. You're still the champion of nothing there.
Unless you get Goldust to come to NWA and fight his brother
I'd
for the
love
strap.
I want Goldust to go to NWA.
I want the Natural to come back.
You got to get a new independent wrestling promotion out there that's not Ring of Honor. Because, those guys are owned by those fucking, like... Despicable Sinclair Media Group fucks who just keep buying up stations and then
who's the head of that
filling them up with corporate propaganda.
Who's the
I don't know some fucking corporate oligarch who sucks Rupert Murdoch's dick.
Well, he was at the show we were at.
Oh no, that's just like Ed Kopp or whatever. He works for the company, but he's not the head of the company. He's just like the old guy.
I gave him our
flyers. Clash of Champions shit, and they're like, "Hey, you're gonna be in charge of the wrestling thing we just bought, buddy."
Yeah, he was. Disgusting.
Either way, that company is despicable. They're disgusting. Who wants to give them any money? And B, the booking of that company has been so boring and dumb for years. They've got no buzz.
Yeah. Still is dumb.
No hype. Nobody cares about anything they're doing other than they're just like, you know, their couple of New Japan guys they have or when they bring in New Japan guys.
Yeah,
is New Japan going to be able to be doing enough shows in the United States where these guys can just purely do New Japan?
No.
That's probably not a thing either.
No.
All this all-in momentum that everybody was so lathered up about, I'm not seeing it go anywhere. Yeah, I'm not seeing it go anywhere.
Or they're going to start their own company, and that's just going to die eventually. Yeah.
Cody and Young Bucks, I don't know.
Prove us wrong. Hey.
I'd try to cash as many checks as I could. Maybe not sign a contract with anybody and just make everybody bring you on a per deal thing and just get as many big paydays as you can. And when that runs its course, then you sign that WWF contract.
I'm going to tell you right now.
And then you just start straight up Carlito dogging it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
lose all your muscle mass. Start wearing those like trash bag pants. Like just clearly not giving a fuck about anything. This contract's going to ride me out. I'm going to be able to retire on what I make the next 3 years. Until then, I'm just Carlito dogging it, man.
I like how Tajiri, like, made those pants popular. Yeah. Like, those were Tajiri pants.
It was fun when
it worked when he did it.
He was the only one doing it. He looked like a crazy little asshole.
And then everybody else was like, hey, guys, if you want to skip leg day and just get straight up doughy.
It's not as cool as some killer Japanese karate man, just like some 19-year-old hillbilly who weighs fucking 75 pounds wearing those things.
Yeah. Tommy Dreamer looks cool in them, though.
Tommy Dreamer is the only guy who they're not baggy on, so right. I'm giving him props.
Yeah. He fills those out. He's just a statuesque gentleman.
Thick with two C's.
All in. Hashtag... Who cares? Everybody's going to forget about it, and all anybody's going to be talking about is the Jera cruise.
That's right.
We'll be there.
Clearly, it's going to be one of those disaster cruises where, like, shit gets it in the drinking water.
Oh,
people start dying or something. Yeah. There's no way this thing goes off without somebody getting sold into sex trafficking or, like, somebody falling overboard. Or there's going to be a death on the Jera cruise. That's, I guess, the lesson of the day.
Oh, no. Flip Gordon died of dysentery.
SoCal Uncensored, lost in the tall grass.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Okay.
You ever tried to do a 450 splash with just insufferable diarrhea?
On a rocking boat with just insufferable diarrhea?
Yeah.
Dysentery going through
it
my system?
It doesn't work.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my muffler fell out.
Wrestling on a cruise ship, maybe not the best idea. What is the best idea I've ever come up with was... doing these rundowns
is
a way to get us through talking about these TV shows we watch easier. So this week, we got a rundown. It's brought to us by a new movie that's out in theaters right now that I don't think enough people are going to see, not enough people are talking about, Assassination Nation.
I read this quote from this writer whose name I forget, but it said something like, 10% of the population is cruel, and 10% is merciful. And the other 80% can be swayed in either direction. I'm also pretty sure that that writer has never seen a World Star fight vid, or 4chan, or Twitter.
Slay him high. We got some Salem bitches on the motherfucking run.
Because at the end of the day, nothing unites us like a good tragedy.
We're good people! We're good people!
I saw it. It's excellent.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It's great.
It looks weird.
It's about, like, you know, this whole town gets hacked and everybody's texts and their search histories get... So then everybody realizes what a scumbag everyone else is. And then, like, they just start breaking down and it turns into, like, a straight up, like, you know, Pandora's box opening modern Hellraiser thing. There's all sorts of revenge going on, all sorts of bloodletting. It gets very gory. It's kind of stylish, like a De Palma film. Uh-huh. It's a nice commentary on how gross the internet is. It's a nice commentary on, you know, how communications technology gave us too much of a window into everybody's private lives, and we've realized, like, how everyone's trash on the inside.
Yeah.
And now we just don't know how to deal with the fact that everyone we know is trash, and suddenly we know about it.
Speaking of scumbags.
Keep it like a secret.
Speaking of scumbags, mm-hmm. How are the teenage sluts in that movie?
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with them as far as, like, creep eye factor goes. There wasn't, I mean... Like, they looked all right, but there wasn't any of them where I was like, oh, yeah, that girl is really... Yeah, they're doing slutty stuff.
Nice, nice.
They got no bras on. They got their butt cheeks hanging out of short shorts.
Ooh, like, baby.
All that stuff's going on. All of that stuff is going on.
The whole reason I go to the mall in the summer, man. Right there.
I also saw that Sisters Brothers. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it looks okay.
Jacques Odiard's first English language film.
Huh. Got to start somewhere.
Decent dialogue for a French guy's movie. I don't know how that works, but...
He used Google Translate,
man. That Riz Ahmed was in it with Jake Gyllenhaal. They did that Nightcrawler together.
No, his name's RZA.
You remember that movie Nightcrawler? Either way, those guys are paired up again. Their chemistry better than ever. It was the Nightcrawler reunion I didn't know I wanted. Assassination Nation brings us this rundown that's covering the Primetime Wrestling episode from April 11th, 1988.
We're up north.
Up north, we're in the studio with Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon. They bring us our first match, which is Don the Rock Morocco in there versus the Natural Butch Reed. Morocco ends up winning that one after the world's clumsiest roll-up. Just the clumsiest roll-up I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really just needed Benny Hill's yakety sax.
In my head, most things that I watch on these old wrestling shows are happening concurrently with yakety sax. Greg Valentine's in our second match versus Brady Boone, our second favorite man wrestling out of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine wins with a figure four leg lock.
Oregon City, Oregon.
Special Delivery Jones in there versus Luscious Johnny V, who is joined in progress.
Thankfully.
The second half of the match. Thankfully, Special Delivery Jones wins after a headbutt, question mark, I put?
Yeah,
came
I
pretty
think
quick.
So.
It was unexpected. I wasn't didn't seem like they were in the home stretch.
Nick Bockwinkel
and then I looked
said,
up and it was over.
You can't put your head down. You can never take your eyes off your opponent, whether it's tennis, football, baseball, basketball,
wise.
Or wrestling.
Very wise. Killer Bees in there versus the Bolsheviks in our next
the killer
match.
Killer Bees!
Volkov gets the pin after a double axe handle from the second rope. Devastating maneuver. Devastating. David.
Just devastating.
David Sammartino. That's not Bruno Sammartino. It's his son, David. He's in there versus Canadian strongman Dino Bravo, who's the workhorse of this match. It's up for you to decide. Bravo wins with a side suplex.
His patented
thrilling
side suplex.
Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase in there versus a jobber named Alden Kinsey. Since it's a jobber, he basically just tears the man apart. Doesn't even need to pull out that Million Dollar Dream to, just a second rope elbow, and then he puts him away. That's all it takes.
It was very NWA WCW squash match.
A lot of people winning with transition moves tonight.
Yep.
Whatever. Coco versus Rick Rude is in our featured event, our final match. This match ends with a countout. When the Bulldogs come and they chase Bobby Heenan away with their bulldog, Matilda, and then Rick Rude runs out after them
fucking
trying to
turds.
Save his manager, Bobby Heenan, and Coco, just being the competitor that he is, the smart athlete, just stays in the ring and lets his opponent get counted out. Rick Rude, you done goofed. Five count. We're going into the five count.
Oh, okay.
This is where we're going to dig deeper into this scintillating episode of Pro Wrestling Television. We're going to come up with five talking points to discuss. Really just lay it all out there.
My very first point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested. That's intimidation, brother.
That's so Raven. Oh.
That's intimidation, brother.
Uh-huh.
Right at the very start of the show. What do we get?
I don't know.
Gorilla Monsoon threatening to split Bobby Heenan's wig. With a, well, it wasn't a 4x4, it was a 2x4.
Yeah, a nice little 2x4. They did some drawing on calling it the Giant Killer.
Yeah.
Same 2x4 that knocked out Andre the Giant on the last episode.
Gorilla Monsoon thought it was really funny.
Really funny.
And that he would hit Bobby Heenan
with it. Going
back
to it.
And Heenan, this is going to come as a surprise to you. Apparently, Heenan is the only one with any level of intelligence in the WWF.
Oh, he's been saying that for years.
Whereas WCW, full of intelligent people.
Whoa, you're going to have to explain this one. You lost me there at the WCW being full of intelligent people.
Monsoon threatens Heenan, and Heenan's like, hey, buddy.
It's a real running gag throughout the whole episode. Gorilla keeps being like, hey, I got this funny joke.
Yeah.
I'm going to split your head open with a board.
Yeah. And Heenan's like, aggravated assault is really funny.
Very
like,
true, yeah. Give it a try.
Yeah,
I'll just sue your ass. Never work again.
This fucking
work another day in my life.
Mongoloid smacks my client in the head.
Gorilla Lloyd.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about Hacksaw now. He hits this guy in the head and everybody's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me realize Dusty Rhodes hits a couple people with a baseball bat.
That's right.
They want him banned for
everybody
a year.
Wants him banned. They should be rising up against Hacksaw Jim Duggan trying to throw him out of this fucking wrestling federation now. Flip the channel and see what's going on TBS right now.
He cracked.
Former Wrestlers
Giant.
Union. Protect
this
yourself.
This is weeks apart here.
Mm-hmm.
And Hacksaw, everybody thinks he's a great guy for
I
it.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
Heenan's the only one that's like...
No accountability.
No one sees anything wrong with this.
With a blunt wooden object up here in the north.
How many little brothers and sisters got hit with a 4x4? Because they wanted to be like Hacksaw.
I never really... I mean, I had younger sisters, but they're much younger than me, so I never got to, like, hit them with boards or anything, really. Yeah. It would have looked weird if I was, like, 10 and, like, hitting a baby with a board. I wouldn't have been able to get away with that.
I hit Dave with a sledgehammer,
I bet you did. I really missed out on having younger siblings beat the shit out of.
We were, like, 20, though.
Oh, that story just made me sad.
Oh. So, I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, it's a good point.
WCW, Land of Intelligence. WWF, Land of Confusion.
That's one of the best 80s videos.
Hell yeah.
Next week, three count. Top three 80s videos. Just drop all pretense of talking about wrestling. It's still 80s.
Yeah, counts.
My first point is just talking a little bit. I had a couple points I wanted to bring up about that Brady Boone versus Greg Valentine match. First off, Brady Boone, we've seen him botch a few times. He's out there, he's busting his ass, he's trying to fly around.
Yeah.
This week, I don't even think it was a botch. I just think it was a real stupid thing he did. Where he took a bump into the corner, is a full somersault into the fucking turnbuckles, and then once he hit the turnbuckles, just dropped like a fucking just rock just directly on the back of his head and his neck.
Yeah.
It was a spectacular way to sell being thrown in the corner, but I mean, that's how you fucking paralyze yourself, man.
Right.
So, I don't know. I can't put my finger on this guy. Do I appreciate him because he's out there working hard, or am I like, this guy's fucking reckless. The guys in the back got to be watching him do all these weird botches and being like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Get him out of the ring.
Yeah.
That might be the reason why Boone never got a big push.
They not once, but twice did that spot where, like, Brady Boone was going to leapfrog a, like, fully standing Greg Valentine, and he just kept hitting him with his legs spread crotch first into Valentine's face. And like the first time, that's Valentine weird. Was just kind of like, I'm just going to kind of
how do I drop even you register on the ground what's now. Happening to me right or, now?
Went to like a weird roll-up of some sort, and then like
second
for
time,
no reason, they did it again.
Pancaked him and was like, I'm not fucking selling this shit anymore.
It was like, what is that, a spine buster? Like,
pseudo spine buster, because like at some point he was just... Valentine was just standing up with just Brady Boone up in the air with his legs around him, like in some sort of strange sex act position. Yeah. And like Valentine just kept waiting, like, all right, are you turning this into a roll up? You doing whatever? And Boone was kind of just still just like back arched with his legs around his waist, looking all weird. And I think Valentine was as uncomfortable as we are. So he just spine bustered him.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It was weird. My second point about this match was just I liked seeing Valentine end it with the figure four leg lock. That's one thing you don't see often enough, is that move actually finishing somebody off so that it's still bought as a real finishing move and not just an excuse to have that roll you over and reverse the pressure in the move thing.
Right.
They never let Flair win enough matches with it down in the WCW.
WWF did a really good job protecting that move, like with Valentine. He seemed to, if he was slapping that on you, that was that.
That's
like,
a good
you
point.
You were going down
you don't
by
see,
it.
Other than like in maybe a big pay-per-view match, the spot where Valentine gets flopped over and it's reversed on him, whereas in every single Flair match you've ever seen, if he's getting that on somebody, it's just getting reversed on him.
I mean, he might
the
put
man
it on
loves
again
excuses
later.
To holler. I get it.
Yeah.
Anything to holler.
It's funny you bring that up. Because I was just watching the 92 Royal Rumble the other day.
As people do.
And there was a spot where Valentine comes in and Flair's already in the ring, obviously, because he drew number three.
Master of the figure four versus master of the figure
four. And they comment,
right in the
like,
middle of the Royal
here
Rumble.
Here we go. Like, this is the battle of the figure four
match
right
doesn't
here.
End with submission, brothers. What are you going to do?
Oh, Flair locked it on him.
That's weird.
And he doesn't get rolled over either.
No?
He just put it on him and like,
guess
stretches
that settles that. It's not that Valentine's better at the move. It's just that Southern wrestlers are better at counter wrestling.
I guess so.
I know so.
Yeah. I got a point.
Okay.
It was in that match beforehand. The Don Morocco versus Butch Reed match.
Oh, that one where two men made out of boulders fake punched each other in slow motion for 10 minutes?
Okay, so you're bringing up the point that I want to talk about.
Okay, okay.
Did you ever take time to watch the Bellator Classic, Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000.
I have, where the two guys were blown up 30 seconds into it, and then the match just couldn't end because nobody had any knockout power.
All I could think about while I watched this match.
That makes a lot of sense. It looked
they were
very
both just
similar.
Out on their feet, just throwing the weakest shit ever.
Everything clumsy. Everything looked like it was in slow motion. Really just made me think that, I'll get into another point here, too, because at this match, I was just like, oh, Vince, what are you doing to me? Are you just putting this on here as like a test to see if I'm going to turn this off immediately? But then The point I was going to bring up later is that this match seemed fine once David Sammartino and Dino Bravo got paired up against each other. Two complete fucking non-workers. And then I was certain. I was just like, okay,
yeah,
this is Vince McMahon challenging me. Like,
yeah,
hey, buddy, every week you're threatening all sorts of bullshit, pal.
Yeah. Well,
kill yourself, all right? Here, kill yourself.
I'm
dare you.
Reason.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Dino Bravo versus David Sammartino. Don Morocco versus Butch right. Reed. Kill yourself. I dare you.
He's gonna kill himself.
I was on the verge of slitting my fucking wrists. And we had a week off from doing this shit. Like,
yeah. It was nice.
It felt good. And I was like, don't have to watch wrestling for a week. Mm-hmm. But then we came back into it and I was like, hey, I'm watching some wrestling. It's nice being back into this a little bit. Get back in the groove. I'll watch some wrestling. Fun time. Yeah. And by the end of it, I wanted to slit my wrists. I wanted to, like, the real way, all the way down the forearm so you lose enough blood to die.
Right. Real way.
Uh-huh.
Not that fake way.
No.
Like they do in wrestling.
Yeah. The teenage girls do. And they're
not
like,
not that kayfabe suicide.
Daddy, quit staying out all night and not paying attention to me. Look,
yeah, you're
I'm
talking
trying
about
to kill myself.
You're talking about a shoot suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The real deal.
I ain't kayfabing my death, man.
Oh, man.
This shit's going to be a shoot suey.
Can we...
Might be a murder suey if anybody else is around next episode of this shit I have to watch. I haven't decided yet.
Oof. Ooh, jeez. It's getting dark.
But yeah, fuck those two matches in particular.
How about that?
Get that shit off your TV.
But the greatest move of the night...
Lay it on me, man.
When Butch Reed tried to pick up Don Morocco to drop him throat first across the top rope.
Just a pile of boulders trying to pick up a pile of boulders.
Yeah. Man, I guess he lifted him. It was just like the laziest.
You know what I'm starting to think is amazing. That maybe steroids aren't the best thing for mobility.
Huh.
Yeah, what do I know?
Not much.
I've been trying to find steroids for months. Been driving around every high school football practice.
Hell yeah.
I haven't found a single fucking score yet. Somebody out there hit me up.
Macho Man Randy Savage went on Arsenio Hall to set the record straight and said, I just want you to know that I'd done in a box steroids, but back when they were legal.
Whoa.
Back when they were legal. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I didn't like it. Wasn't
no.
for me. No,
that's why
no.
he
was
down so much weight in that late 90s WCW era because he hated steroids
you
so
know,
much.
You know what was the worst part of Arsenio? Gave me bad PMS.
What?
I called you mean and macho, but TV Guide called you a huge psychotic lizard. What did you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Those are accusations I haven't totally denied, but it kind of sounds sexual, so I'll roll with it, okay?
Moving along now.
Oh, I got another one that we've already covered. Another one of my points was just that, what a charming comedy bit threatening to split somebody's skull with a 2x4 over and over again throughout the entire episode is. That's already three for me. We're shooting through.
Yeah.
Every little thing I wanted to talk about this thing, we're talking about it real quick. Because there wasn't much I wanted to talk about.
Every week that we watch this, I'm starting to realize more and more, like, the straight man routine that Gorilla Monsoon does. He's just coming across like more and more of a sociopath.
Yeah, he's just like a fucking bully. He's like Macaulay Culkin's character in The Good Son, just like needling the brains Elijah Wood, just like being a weirdo, pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable and seeing if you can get called out on it or not.
Break your fucking neck right here on live television. Like, why would you say that?
But as a little addendum to that, the running gag I did quite enjoy was Bobby Heenan using that pop-up VHS where Hogan's face pops out of it to call Hogan a dum-dum
Yeah,
over
that
and over
was
again.
Also... Well, that was almost my number four.
It's good stuff right there.
He's like anybody that's stupid, stand up.
Yeah.
And he's like, boop.
Who wears sunglasses and is stupid, and then he opened that thing and he had some sunglasses on him. Because Hogan's a fucking dumb-dumb.
Did you wonder, like, how that came about and, like, how long they took production-wise to put that together?
Figure he just called Miss Betty during a commercial and was like, get some construction paper and make me some little sunglasses.
We glanced over my number three in the Brady Boone and Greg Valentine match.
We talked
about the weird crotch spots.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wanted to comment... Good Lord, was that crowd dead?
Well, you got a jobber in there versus just gruff, straight-laced old man.
Yeah.
What are these guys supposed to be cheering about?
They were.
This is the sort of match that desperately needed like a Jimmy Hart or somebody out there running around, their mouth, trying to get people into it.
He was there.
He was out there?
Yeah.
I didn't notice any Jimmy Hart antics this week.
He had
week.
The hat because he had his hair cut off.
That's
all
right. He did have some sort of weird beret on or something. And they were talking about
even in the front
how
Brutus row,
Beefcake.
Like yelling at people. Like in their faces, and they were just no selling it.
Get him up on that apron, taking some bumps or something.
Yeah. He might have got hit. I don't remember. But yeah, it was dead.
Listen, I watched this 2 days ago. Dead. I don't remember anything I saw.
Dead.
There's not anything in there that's going to stick with you. I'll tell you that much.
No. Kind of like KFC did to me that one day.
Hey! Stay away from the chicken! No! No, chicken! Mess you up!
Okay, my next point is I got a question for you.
Okay.
I'll talk, Hacksaw Jim Duggan had a promo during this
That's right, tough guy.
Show where he was talking about Andre the Giant and their altercation.
Yeah, it was an old one.
And he said the phrase, I want you man on man.
Yeah.
I want you mono on mono.
Yeah.
Yeah, just challenge somebody man to man, not man on man. That
nope.
Gay,
no, man on man,
and then there was another.
Greco-Roman.
There's another promo.
Let's get naked.
Where Bret the Hitman Hart was talking about Bad News Brown.
Yeah.
Double-crossing him and throwing him out of that Battle Royal at WrestleMania 4.
Brown's a double-cross.
He kept saying, yeah, Bad News Brown, you're nothing but a double-cross.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a misspeaking because he said it several times. It was the point
correct.
He kept hammering home.
You're nothing but a double-cross.
So,
you know, that Battle Royal... That day I lost all respect for you, Bad News Brown.
Lost all respect for anybody who wants to be a double cross that day.
But then Bad News Brown fired back to set the record straight and let everybody know Bret Hart's a lowlife.
True that. So
it's pretty cool.
It ties into my question I got here. So in kayfabe, what are we supposed to believe? Who is kayfabe dumber, a dumber man? Canadian hillbilly Bret Hart or Glens Falls, New York, half-tard Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Who are we supposed to believe is a stupider person?
I feel like all the Bret stuff was just like happenstance, like by chance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like they were like, look at this Hacksaw guy, what an idiot.
They're building more into his character to whereas Bret...
I think, yeah.
It's not supposed to be part of his character. He's just such a real idiot that he starts showing up.
Bret booked himself into that.
Okay, I guess that's our answer. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, kayfabe idiot. Bret Hart, shoot idiot.
Shoot idiot.
He's a shoot moron.
I'm going to shoot here for a minute if I can. That Bad News Brown, you know, he's a real double cross.
Just because you're from Canada doesn't mean you don't speak English, man.
No, it does.
What the fuck?
9 times out of 10, it does.
Take off, eh?
That's all my points. I've gotten through all of them.
I want to talk real quick about, Bolsheviks versus Killer Bees.
Okay. That was a fine match for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did have one more point, and it's in that match, too.
Yeah. Is it the...
Skipped right over it.
Is it the hot, big-haired Canadian chicks sitting up front?
No,
They're
I missed
teens.
That, definitely.
They're teens, and it's hot. They're front and center, and I wrote Hubba Hubba. I'm going to try to screenshot it and get it out there. And then there's
for us.
Also another really hot Canadian in this match.
Okay, who's
She's
that?
She's like thick,
uh-huh.
blonde haired,
yeah.
just straight squealing the entire second half of the match.
I did hear the squealing. I didn't see where
cut
it was coming
to her.
From. They
She's
cut to her?
She's got big blonde hair. She's... filling out a hot rod shirt.
Speaking my language right now.
I mean, she's got like, it's the ringer style hot rod shirt.
Oh, yeah. That's
and you
nice.
Can see, you know, you get a little more.
She's got some of that like.
Where that ringer
grabs.
That
flabber, like lady arm flab, just wrapping around that ring on that sleeve.
No,
is that what's going on?
No, because she's young still. So she's at my favorite point for chubby young girls, where it's like, you're fat. But your body's holding it into like a sexy
you're
shape.
Fat, but that fat hasn't started moving south yet.
Right, like
it's still just up in the air.
Your body's
somehow.
Just magically shaped it into just something erotic.
My point about it was the ending of the match. It was something that I fucking hated. It ended with fucking just a double axe handle off the second rope from Nikolai Volkoff. And the reason that was able to end a match is because Volkov was not the legal man. So it was a cheat move. And I fucking hate this shit that they always did in tag matches.
Yeah.
Where somebody would get pinned by just like a weak kick or something just because it was happening from like a manager or like right. the guy who's not supposed to be in there. Like somehow because it's a cheat, you're not supposed to be getting hit by this guy.
Oh, this
the move
really,
does more
really
damage. And then like now you're totally pinned from it. It's a stupid thing that I don't really see in wrestling anymore that you used to constantly see in 80s wrestling. And I'm glad that it's done. I'm glad that it's gone. It was a bad memory being brought up.
Tag wrestling all the time.
Yeah, it was like in the like Survivor Series matches too where they had to get like 10 pins in those fucking things. So everybody would just be randomly pinned by transitional moves in like 2 minutes when it usually takes like four times the damage to get them to get always fucking annoyed
me. He got too close to the ropes and the other bad guy punched him in the small of the back, so he got pinned.
Suddenly Tito Santana's getting pinned by a simple clothesline? I don't think so. So this is just a little bit of stupid psychology that I always hated and I feel like they've gotten away from. So I'm going to give modern wrestling a rare tool time tip of the hat. 80s wrestling. You know, there's some anachronistic stuff in here I don't dig.
Canada was all about
that. That was all my points.
They love the Killer Bees, though.
Definitely all my points.
Canada's heroes.
Well, that's because they hated the Bolsheviks so much.
Yeah, that's...
Those guys are Russians, and we used to hate Russians on this continent.
Well, they were in Canada, and Killer Bees famously won that Canadian tag tournament.
And bees make honey, and everybody loves honey, except for probably Canadians because they make so much money on maple syrup. Why were they cheering these bees? It's a mystery.
Because they won that tag tournament, famously.
I don't even... What are you talking
years
about?
Years back, the tag tournament. Look into it.
Did they?
Yeah.
There was one for your Bing boxes,
the Don
everybody.
Briscoe tag tournament or some shit.
All right.
They won the first ever Ted Petty Invitational, okay? Kind of a big deal.
I hear they're coming back next year and trying to re-win their
They're going
to
be in Memphis, Indiana?
Yeah, coming down to Memphis, Indiana next September 2019.
Hey, shout out to a friend of the show.
Uh-huh, who's that?
Indie wrestler.
This show has friends.
Dashing Dick Davis.
Uh-huh.
Davies.
Yeah, I've talked to him a little bit.
He tagged with Brunzel.
Oh, really?
Or B. Brian Blair. One of the two.
One of the
whichever one's the gay one.
According to the Iron Sheik, that's definitely Brian Blair.
Okay, I think that's the one he tagged with.
Okay.
Sheik, what do you think about Brian Blair, you know, with a child abuse allegation down in Florida, him hitting his kid, getting a fight with his kid? What do you think, Sheik?
You know, Eric, I slap him in my roast. I should have slapped him again because he beat up his kids. Brian Blair, you're no good son of a bitch. After you learn from your mistake, I slap him in my roast. But no, you need another slap because you beat up your kids. That's the worst thing you did. You are no good garbage son of a bitch, Brian Blair.
Good for him.
There's pictures. He got to wear the bee outfit and everything.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah. So, there's that, you know. Kind of ties it all together.
Nice little package.
Yeah, we'll just say that's five.
All right, we got through all of our fives in the five count.
Good enough.
Going through another episode of Primetime Wrestling that was, you know, totally worth spending 30 minutes talking about.
I looked at a lot of other stuff on my phone.
While you were watching this?
Oh, yeah.
You have to. A lot of stuff. You'll die.
did a little work on the Instagrams, put some stuff up.
Well, at least you're being productive.
Check it out, you know.
Check that out during our break here.
Did you get the commercial? We got the commercial?
Yeah, yeah.
The one we talked about? The big one?
Put that commercial right in here.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's going to probably be our biggest money contract that we've written so far.
Shout out to my guy, my cousin, Johnny Uptown. Mm-hmm. He helped broker that deal. He's a TV bigwig up at Channel 6, Fox.
Really?
I think it's Fox. Yeah, Fox affiliate in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he was able to broker this deal with Viacom Media.
Keep it in the family. That's what I always say.
So, way to help us pay the bills.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Great job, Neil. Hey, Danny, thanks a lot, man. What a show.
Great show, huh?
Hey, Danny.
What is it, Neil?
Hey, Dan. Where's our car, man?
Well, Neil...
Car, man. Where's the Cadillac, man?
Geffen Records came by here and just a second ago and towed your car away. They told me that it was in your contract. That car was to be given away on MTV. Now, it was in your contract, Neil.
My Cadillac, man?
That's right, Neil, your 1956 pink Cadillac convertible.
I'm wondering if you'll come home. Cry, cry, cry.
That's a car we do, everybody's rocking it, man. We gotta move.
It's official. They're giving Neil's car away, and here's how to win it. Fill out an entry form at your local record store or send a postcard to Pink Cadillac Contest, P.O. Box 1280, Radio City Station, New York, New York, 10101. It's easy to win, but Neil, the Cadillac's gone.
That don't move me on. Play another song, man.
He's coming. He's coming. There's gonna be a gunfight.
There's a brand new bubblegum in town named a Hubba Bubba. It's soft, juicy, and delicious. Best of all, Hubba Bubba lets you blow great, big, fat bubbles that won't stick to your face.
Big bubbles, no troubles.
New Hubba Bubba Bubble Gum.
Went to the Cheesecake Factory.
Did you?
In Oak Brook, Illinois.
Is that in the mall out there? Where do they got one of those?
Yeah.
Freestanding building. Okay.
Freestanding outside of the mall.
Sounds like a nice little trip.
We're celebrating Davy R. Scheister's birthday, which is tomorrow.
So yeah, you get a,
or 2 days ago.
You get a upper class north suburbs white guy celebrating his birthday. Yep. Where are you gonna take him? Fucking Cheesecake Factory.
He just likes to go there because of the dad and stepbrothers.
I'm going down to the Cheesecake Factory and have a drink.
But it's Christmas Eve.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, come home stinking of whiskey and cheesecake. Yeah. Best way to celebrate a birthday I could think of.
I had the Philly cheesesteak, the California cheesesteak.
Okay.
Which was just awful.
How's that differ from the Philly cheesesteak? What are they going
for
out there?
You use stale bread. You only put meat on one half of the sandwich, and then you make sure that meat is full of fat.
Ooh, I love the grizzle.
And all those delicious veggies that you put on top of there.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure they're
caramelized onions.
Completely void of flavor.
Hmm.
And make sure that all the grease on the sandwich is at a balmy 500 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now, do you have any Cheesecake Factory recommendations? We don't get the California cheesesteak. We know that. What's good on this menu? I know the menu is famously huge. It's like 45 pages. You got to flip all the way through it. What are they doing great there at the factory?
Dave had a pretty good looking chop. He had a pork chop.
Oh, wow. There's another option.
Single, bone in.
In case I ever find myself at a Cheesecake Factory. This might be what I go for.
We went to Cheesecake for lunch.
It's the one time I've been to a Cheesecake Factory in my life. We went there once like 10 years ago.
Oh, Allie Cat.
In bathing suits.
Allie was bossing around. Allison was bossing around
that
waitress.
Oh, yeah, we had a friend who's very... she's got a heavy hand when it comes to asking for drink refills. And you're famously a nervous younger brother, Davy R. Scheister.
Terrified of confrontation.
Yes, very, very upset that this waiter was being put out by all these drink. And it was just a hilarious, comedy
she
of
was
errors.
Like, I'm gonna need
comedy
a,
of
we
manners.
We need a round of drinks right now. And then when you come back, bring another round of drinks. And he's like, she's like, no, I'm really serious.
And as soon as that exchange took place, Dave's tugging at his collar. I don't know how we were there in bathing suits.
Yeah, he's still...
Instantly, that Dave-O flop sweat just showing up on the forehead.
She saw how uneasy Dave was. She saw how not serious the waiter was taking it all. And so she changed it. Do you remember?
Well, no.
She was like, just bring a pitcher.
I knew she just kept accelerating it to make it a more and more uncomfortable situation.
I think he ended up bringing like two pitchers of whatever drink that was.
Dave,
I don't know if they were drinking Cokes or if she had like teas going or what.
Hiding behind a potted plant before that meal was over.
It was amazing. Just a really, really good time.
Just, it
was quite a posse.
Summer nights at the Cheesecake Factory.
Summer nights.
So this three count, this week's three count, I don't know. We're down to the wire with this three count. We were almost ready to record the podcast, and we didn't have an idea yet. We had to throw something together.
I started thinking about new bits we could do to give ourselves a break
like
every
a break
once
from
in a
these
while.
Three counts, that might be a thing we need
might
to come
have
up
to.
With soon, a new second segment. But I came up with one because I saw that cowboy movie, The Sisters Brothers, last night, and I was like, there's a lot of cowboy wrestlers in the 1980s. What if you had to get together a whole posse of cowboy wrestlers, like Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly and Riz Ahmed and Jake Gyllenhaal had to become a posse in that fucking movie. That's four guys. You get yourself, you get three guys. That's a three count. Who is your ideal old Western posse made entirely of you and 1980s cowboy wrestlers?
So we talked off air about, I went more good guys. You went more bad guys. We said that's fine.
I got a real shit stirring posse over here.
Yeah, we can switch it up next time, and I'll do bad guys, and you do good.
You
guys.
You do the good guys. So you're the ones who are just like, hey, I heard there was an Indian who allegedly raped a woman. Let's go hunt him down and brutally murder him.
Yeah,
that's what you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, there's a little of that in my posse. They might not be cowboy characters per se.
Oh,
but they get a pass because literally all of these guys wore either a cowboy hat or a duster at some point.
Okay, that counts.
You know?
I tried to go with all guys that have some sort of connection to Texas.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So my main theme that I stuck with was backstory.
Oh, okay.
Because in any good Western, especially when you're getting a posse, you get these rich characters, and it's all about their backstory that makes them who they are.
Such a tableau of humanity.
Ain't it the truth?
Stretched out before us.
So for my first
American
one.
American Western.
My first one, he's going to be the wild card guy.
I had a wild card for my first one too.
You got to have a wild card guy. He's not just crazy and whatever, and he's not good in a fight. He's also got a real weird where he's from. Okay?
Okay.
He's made it down. He's made it down into the cowboy territories, probably because of a gold rush or some shit. But he came by way of Canada. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
But he didn't start out in Canada. You see,
This is a long and winding road.
He was originally overseas
to our saloon door
in Scotland somehow.
Jesus Christ!
My first guy's the hot rod himself.
Okay. Yeah.
Roddy Piper.
Zoned Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling like he's a good wild card character, that's for sure.
And he's from like...
How's he looking in a cowboy hat?
Ah, resplendent.
Okay.
He's also from like hillbilly cowboy parts of Canada,
too. He's from Vancouver.
Nah, he's like Nova Scotia.
Oh, what a sleazebag.
Yeah. So that's my first.
That's your first.
He's a wild card. He's foul mouthed. He's going to be heavy drinking. You're going to have to like rein it in with him. Like, hey, whoa, come on. We got a task at hand.
That's... blending right into everything I was looking for my wild card. I think my thought was, like I said, I'm going more with the bad guy. So what I feel like is every good gang of outlaws, every posse of just sleazebags just needs a complete piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just an out of control moron asshole who's always like pulling his gun and shooting when it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So like he's killing
to the
people.
Point where even the bad guys are like,
yeah. Oh, what are you doing? You didn't have to kill that guy. Yeah. So then, like, there's all sorts of vendettas against you. And then, like, people are coming to look for revenge. So then you're always getting in a bunch of extra shootouts because this guy's killing people he's not supposed to be killing because he's out of control. He's a
final act, final scene. They're probably going to have a falling out. Which leads to their ultimate downfall and demise.
A big three-way shootout or something. Everybody's going to die. So I was like, who's a big crazy piece of shit? And I was like, oh, famously racist KKK member Dick Murdoch.
Captain
Redneck. I'm going to throw him in there. He loves hating people, and he loved getting in bar fights all the time.
Yeah.
He's certainly an out-of-control asshole, so he's going to be my posse's complete piece of shit. And that's going to work great for us. There's going to be a lot of friction between me and him when I'm trying to do everything professional, and he's just dragging us in the weeds, man.
That's a nice pick.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, it makes
Texas
sense.
Texas' own, you know, too. Straight from that territory.
He's going to be that guy, like you said, for most of the movie, it's like, oh, hey, he's a lot of why this group is presents such a threat.
Wanted posters at every town for 100 miles.
And then, at some point,
what are you doing shooting the governor's nephew?
Yeah, they're going to want to distance themselves.
Oh, well, you know, he's part of our posse, so we got to deal with it.
So my second pick, you got to have a little mystery, okay? You got to have that one guy. He's a heavy hitter. He's going to, you know, not a lot of people want to mess with him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say a whole lot necessarily.
He's got a reputation.
What maybe he does say you don't quite fully understand. Because
not a lot of peyote.
Rumor has it, no one really knows much about his past, but he was supposedly you know, found by a tribe of Indians.
I hear he's from parts unknown.
Yeah, a tribe of Indians that people don't even think exist anymore. And they don't even know where they call home anyways. Yes. And that guy would be the ultimate warrior.
This is... I'm trying to picture him on a horse.
Majestic. I get what you're saying.
Now I'm just picturing like all the rest of the posse riding horses, yeah, and him just straight up sprinting next to the horses.
Oh, at an equal pace.
With the horses.
At an equal pace.
There's the big old dust cloud behind him.
And he's got that sweet like warrior airbrushed duster on.
Oh yeah, some of the nice like suede trim though,
yes,
like
sir,
blowing in the breezes.
Yes,
he's
sir.
He's a total mystery.
Alongside a horse doing that
noise.
When
you go through Indian territory, he's going to be able to like say a lot of mumbo jumbo about like, you know, how you're going to deal with these Indians and how to, yeah.
Forces.
We're in the spiritual world right now.
The astral planes, yeah.
The warrior only breathes the air of the brave, and the warrior only feasts on the fruit of victory.
All of the ancient Buffalo Brothers flowing through my veins.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, this guy's legit, or we don't want any part of him. One of the two.
This is a weird, weird old Western posse you're putting together.
But it works, doesn't
you're gonna
it?
You're going to get a lot of looks when you roll through that saloon door.
Yeah, but these are good picks here, man.
Very strong. My number two, I was thinking every good old Western posse needs the slick guy, the pretty boy, the grifter. The guy who's running scams, the guy who's cheating at cards, the guy who's getting people after you because somebody finds an ace up his sleeve.
Ooh, hey now.
He seduces, you know, the main gangster in town's wife or something, mm-hmm, and then he gets caught in bed, and then suddenly they're shooting, and you're in a big shootout. We're getting all sorts of shootouts because this greasy trickster is, you know, out there trying to scam everybody out of their hard-earned money or their hard-earned women. And I figure, who's a guy is, you know, slick enough, smart enough, just got a little bit of enough of a swagger to pull that off? I'm going with West Texas University's own Ted DiBiase.
Ooh,
you know,
I didn't see
that one coming. We think of him as the million-dollar man, but you know, guy was on that football team with all those other hillbillies, Texas A&M, I think they're called now. It's a big wrestling school. A lot of big hosses came out of there.
Big time.
Ted DiBiase was running with him, even though he was a little bit slicker. He was a little bit, you know, more of a technical guy in the ring.
A little more polished.
So that's why he's going to be my, you know, my gambler, my
like
con
it.
Man.
I like it.
An essential part of any great old Western posse.
Similarly,
mm-hmm,
I went along the same lines. Not as
up there now.
Not as steely swindly.
Rounding out the posse.
But my guy, he's got to be, you know, the smooth-talking pretty boy. Maybe the other guys razz him a little bit, like, hey, you're too pretty. You probably can't handle yourself in a fight.
Carries around a toothbrush.
And he's like, hey, you know, don't you worry about me. Like, when it comes time, like, I can get matters done.
Just got to where it counts, kid.
But at the same time, I'm going to bang all the best-looking prostitutes at the brothels.
All of the best-looking old Western prostitutes.
And, like, they're going to know me, and they're going to be like, oh, are we going to get the old room tonight, Johnny? And he's going to be all like, well,
for his,
you know,
syphilis.
Maybe if you're lucky, you know.
So much syphilis on that dick.
But he can still fight. He can still go
because
he's one of the best.
For at least another couple years, that syphilis
and
is really catching up to him.
He knows how to talk. And daddy, he is funky like a monkey.
Your pretty boy is Dusty
Rhodes.
That's
right, buddy.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen to him talk. He'll tell you himself.
But then along comes that egg-sucking dog, Dusty Rhodes, who happens to fluke into the world championship. Now, I have a picture of this man. I want to ask you, what does he represent? Does he represent wrestling? Look at that big, fat, obnoxious belly of his. Look how he's in the ring in a pair of faded blue jeans and a shirt that says everybody loves somebody and looking Bach and a pair of cowboy boots and varicose veins and bleach blonde hair, and this overbearing egg-sucking dog thinks he's the world's heavyweight wrestling champion.
Old Western times, I guess people were probably uglier on the whole than they are these days.
Think about
Dusty Rhodes is going to have any chance of being a pretty boy. It's going to be in the Old West.
In that Matthew What's-His-Face role in like Bone Tomahawk, where he's just dressed nice.
Yeah.
And like talking nice and just like, oh, that's right. Don't you worry about what I'm going to do, Daddy. I can handle my business.
I'm always wearing cowboy shirts so like, nobody can see my splotch.
But he's still got those like flashy red and white leather Dusty boots movie.
He's got a bootmaker in every county.
Right, and they're riding this guy on like how much money he's spending on his outfits because what does Dusty do? He spends money on his outfits,
true.
Right?
That's why you got to be pulling a lot of jobs out there.
Exactly.
A lot of train robberies to keep Dusty in custom cowboy boots.
He's on the level. He's on the level these days, you know, fighting the good fight. He might have a little bit of a shady background.
Gotta be dirty, yeah. Something's going on.
But he insists he's a good guy.
just a nice parallel to his wrestling career.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
So I think he really works in this role, and I'm taking him.
Strong. So it's you out there on the open plains with the Ultimate Warrior, Big Dust, and Roddy Piper.
Correct.
That's a lot of personality to have around one campfire.
You ever seen a Western?
I have, yeah.
You gotta have personality.
A wild bunch there.
Personality and backstory.
So, rounding out my old Western posse, I felt like every old Western posse, every gang, they need a washed-up old coot who can't hack it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But he can't give up the life, so he just hangs around and cooks all the pork and beans. A real Walter Brennan type. All
right, I got a guess here.
So what this guy's going to be, he's going to be the guy who just, like, is just a dumb old man who's just drunkenly runs his mouth and he says secrets or shit he's not supposed to say.
Ooh.
So it gets you in a gunfight.
All right, I got two ways you
can go.
Or he's
like the guy who just, like, falls asleep when he's supposed to be on watch, so you guys get ambushed and then you get in a gunfight.
Whose fault was this?
And all these people are here to get me into more gunfights. If I'm an old Western posse, that's my goal right there. I want to get as many shootouts as possible.
Is he quick to pass the buck when it was clearly his fault? But he tries to blame somebody else.
He's more of just like a wallower. He's gonna hang dog it and just be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, so that's why I'm going with, just doing a little time traveling here. I'm going with Dennis Stamp from going later era. That pro wrestling documentary.
Oh.
I'm not booked.
Oh.
Refusing to referee Terry Funk's retirement match,
wow.
Dennis Stamp.
Terry wasn't the only wrestler who lived in Amarillo. The other one was unfortunately not as successful. Dennis Stamp had over 800 matches, none of them main events. Now an exterminator, he was the self-proclaimed king of the cockroaches.
Are you coming to the show Thursday night?
No, I won't be.
Why not?
I'm not booked, for one thing. And what really bothers me is Dory Funk Jr. I have nothing against the man he's wrestling, but I could swear to you, I could guarantee to you that no one could have a better match with Dory than I would have. So that part hurts. So, but I really wanted to be on as a referee, but the people who make the decision, whoever that would be, didn't offer me any position. So I'm not booked. I won't be here.
He's going to be my cookie. He's going to be cooking our pork and beans. He's going to be whining that we don't let him go on all the big missions with us.
Sir, you pulled the rug out from under me. I thought at first maybe you were going to go like Dory Funk.
Yeah, he was definitely a confused old man.
And then when you talked about, like, you know, talking shit, getting into trouble, blah, 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 I started thinking Paul Jones maybe.
Oh, God. I don't want him around.
Yeah,
this is going to be annoying. No.
That's a great
Amarillo
pick.
Texas resident Dennis Stamp. He's always got his six shooter on him just in case you need him for this next mission.
We need you to help us. You got to help us with this bank, this train heist.
Just guard the horses.
I don't know. You didn't ask me
to
start. No,
Dennis, we need somebody to guard the horses.
No, I didn't have a spot in this posse.
This is going to be a lot of great back and forth, I feel, once we're out there riding with Mr. Stamp.
So you got...
We're going to have like a chuck wagon, though, so he can carry his trampoline and his you know, dumbbells around.
Got
to
work out.
Yeah, we got to
keep
sharp.
How do you work out?
Got to keep sharp.
Yeah. So you got Dougie Stamp, Ted DiBiase.
That's right. And Dick Murdoch. Bunch of white guys having good, clean American fun.
Yeah. I mean, you could put like a Virgil or a Coco Beware or a JYD in there, but they're going to have a backstory. I'm not doing one of these
revisionist westerns. I'm going classic.
He broke free from the Confederates, you see.
Yeah, I'm not doing commentaries on tropes. I'm doing a hardcore...
Only time that
old
worked...
Old school Bud Boddicker-style fucking western.
Only time that worked was in Deadwood when the N-word general was working at the library with Hostetler.
Mario Van Peebles. Movie Posse about the Posse was pretty fucking cool. I remember I liked that one.
Anything Mario Van Peebles does is cool.
Just a big fan of his entire catalog.
I'm not just saying N-word just to say that was literally his character's name on the show.
It's not coming out of your mouth.
Okay, as long as we're on the same page, I want to clear that up.
Also, I like Mario Van Peebles in Solo.
Solo, that was a pretty cool movie.
Like Mike.
What other movies was he in?
Who's to say?
I don't know.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a something.
Another legend, World Championship Wrestling. It's an old TV show that, Jim Crockett Promotions used to do, and we're going to be talking about it next week. Can you believe it?
Watermelon Man, I like that movie.
But what is that?
The senior peoples made it.
You're thinking of Waterboy, starring our boy the Sandman.
Well, I love that movie, really too, good movie. But I like the other one, too.
It's some high-quality H2O.
Well, speaking of racist stuff.
WCW. April 9th, 1988 is what we're going to be talking about. So, fire up that WWE Network. Do your due diligence so you know what the fuck we're talking about.
Right.
Next week when we come back.
We won't know. You won't know because it's WCW.
Yeah, it's bound to be a mess.
But it'll be here on Baby Oil and Blow.
The sun is sinking in the west. The cattle go down to the stream. The red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream. Purple eyes in the canyon. That's where I long to be with my three good companions. Just my rifle, pony, and me. Gonna hang my sombrero on the limb of a tree. Coming home, sweetheart, darling. Just my rifle, pony, and me.
Whippoorwill in the willow sings a sweet melody.
Riding to
Amarillo.
Just my rifle, pony, and me.
No more cow
To be roping.
No more stray. Will I see
Round the bend.
She'll be waiting
for my rifle, pony, and me. For my rifle, my pony, and me.